following program is intended for mature audiences.
Featuring host, writer, humorous, experiential mystery. pastors that have not been being. I don't know if there is such a word, but we've made it up. And we mentioned in the news segment that Bill O'Reilly, I call him Bill O'Reilly, Bill O'Reilly, Bill O'Reilly, who is a wannabe newscaster on Fox so-called news, is understandably a liar, as everyone is, as almost everyone is on Fox so-called news. They're just basically espousing the word of the ultra-conservative right-wing fringe people, and this fringe is becoming more and more mainstream because people are buying this lie that they broadcast 24/7 on Fox. And Bill O'Reilly is one of the most famous of those liars, with his books on who killed this one and why they killed that one and who killed Jesus and who killed Kennedy and who killed Lincoln. And he is caught in a lie right now. I'm going to play a cut of Bill O'Reilly on the Jimmy Kimmel show talking about Brian Williams and the problems Brian Williams had, and I'll be commenting on that. So let's take a listen right now.
If you don't mind, I want to ask you about fellow broadcaster Brian Williams, who's been in the news for all the wrong reasons this week. Do you know Brian?
I do.
You do. What's your take on this?
Well, number one, I feel that anybody who is enjoying a destruction of this man, you got to look at yourself here. And there's a lot of people seem to be real happy that his career is going down a drain. That disturbs me. He made a mistake. Is it a character flaw? I don't know. If it is, he's going to lose his job. If another one comes out that he exaggerated a story that he reported, he's going to lose his job. He can get one. It's funny because I was in the same, almost exactly the same situation that he was in. I went to Iraq after him, but it was hot. And we were in a helicopter, and I was landed at Baghdad airport. I came in from Kuwait, and I was on like a goodwill tour, visiting troops all over the place. And I said, well, let's drive. It's only 12 miles to Baghdad from the airport. And the guy goes, we can't drive. It's too dangerous. So we went up in a helicopter gunship, and I sat right next to the gunner. I had a little helmet on, the flak jacket, and it's unbelievably exhilarating. Your adrenaline is running, and I'm flying over Baghdad with the guys, and there's two gunners, and the doors are open, and the pilots, it's intense. Nobody shot at us or anything like that, but I could see that when you come on a show like Kimmel or any of the late night shows, you don't want to be a dweeb, all right? You want to have something interesting to say. And that's what happens, is that a journalist will say, okay, I was there, and then this story, to make it more dramatic and interesting, will emerge.
Right.
And that's what he did. He embellished the story. Now, if it's just one time, he'll get by. But if it's a pattern of this, it's going to be hard for him to come back and be the main anchor on NBC.
Interesting, yeah. Well, I think that's interesting that you have compassion for him. And
look, every public person in this country is a target. And with the internet, and you know what it is, it's a sewer. And these people delight in seeing famous people being taken apart. And I just think it's wrong. I mean, we're human beings like everybody else. Yeah, Kimmel makes a lot of money, not me so much, but so what? All right? We earned it, all right? This is America. So I don't like this taking and destroying people for sport business.
Right.
I don't like it. And so if there's a doubt with Brian Williams, I'm going to give it to him.
Yeah, well, I think that's very nice. And okay, so now would you be interested in interviewing Brian Williams about this?
Yeah, I'd talk to him about it, but I don't think Williams is going to be. Look, he's going to ride it out. He's either going to make it or he isn't. And it just depends on if he did it, as I said, if he did it a number of times, then he has to give up the position.
I am Jimmy Kimmel. Are you sad that the video is over? Well, subscribe to our YouTube channel.
You can subscribe to Jimmy Kimmel's YouTube channel if you'd like to, but I think that Bill O'Reilly there, Bill O'Reilly, O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly was a bit too nice. Jimmy Kimmel said, "That was nice of you to be so compassionate." And I think it's a little too nice, because what I thought when I heard that first was, well, he's... I don't understand. He's always attacking people, and he's... And probably thinks Brian Williams is one of those left-wing, them damn left-wing commie journalists. And it was, he was just too nice. And I think what he was doing was he didn't want things to, his own lies to be exposed. And let's listen to this on his radio show. This is Bill O'Reilly on his radio show talking about his, quote, combat duty. Listen to this.
I tell you what, I've been in combat. I've seen it. I've been close to it. And if I'm, my unit is in danger and I got a captured guy and the guy knows where the enemy is and I'm looking him in the guy better tell me. That's all I'm going to tell you. If it's life or death, he's going first. Roger, Portland, Oregon. What say you, Roger?
Yeah, hey, Bill. Bill, first things first. You just said that you've been in combat, but you've never been in the military, have you?
No, I have not.
Then why do you say you've been in combat?
Why do I say that, Roger? Because I was in the middle of a couple of firefights in South and Central America.
But you were a media guy.
Yeah, a media guy with a pen, not a gun. And people were shooting at me, Roger.
People might think that you actually were in the military.
We don't want to mislead anybody, but I made it quite clear in many, many circumstances.
We are.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Roger, you know what? You can take your little Farron Down snip remark and shove it, okay? You're not getting on this air. And you, Mr. Macho Man, would have never come close to anything that I've done down where I've been, okay? So take a walk and, enough said.
Yeah, enough said. Enough lying said. I'm going to play you the beginning of that again. Just a few seconds of it, just to hear that again of what he said. Mr. Bill O'Reilly?
I tell you what. I've been in combat. I've seen it. I've been close to it.
Okay. I've been in combat. I've been in combat. He hasn't been in combat, friends. He's a liar. On Fox so-called news, and his job is to promote the main point of the Republican, or not even the Republican, the fringe of the Tea Party crazies, and he does that well, and that's what he should do, and he should write his books about dying, who's dying next, and so on and so forth. There is some happy news on the horizon here, I think. I'm going to start a new segment occasionally heard on Savino Veritas, which is what you're listening to right now. Savino Veritas, live from Burbank, California, this Thursday evening. And I hope everybody's keeping warm. It's very mild and warm here in Burbank. But I know for a lot of the rest of the country that that's just not the case. And we hope everything is okay with you in those parts of the world where it's cold, and that's many parts of the world, many parts of this United States and Canada. We have an interesting thing about at the midnight hour on the East Coast, we will play the local news from Ontario, from the SRN headquarters. Remember, this is Savino Veritas, and we come to you through SRN from Canada. And we will give you the local news. And if you're interested, they've been in the news today in Newcastle. The area of Newcastle, Canada, was in the news because from an aerial photo, their medical facilities, their medical center of Newcastle, looks like a spread-eagled man, complete with genitalia. So check that out on the internet. Check out Newcastle Medical Center or Newcastle Naked Man or something like that, and you should find an interesting shot, an aerial shot of the Newcastle health facility. But we will have the real local news at midnight for you at, from Canada. So we talked to we didn't talk to him, but we heard Bill O'Reilly lying to us. But I want to tell you that there's a new segment I'm going to have every now and then called I forgot what the name of the segment is. It's called Hope and Change. Hope and Change. Because I, obviously, since I've started the Civino Veritas on December 4th, 2014, and since then we've been on every week, and I've been talking about the right wing and my complaints about them. After all, the show is in wine, the truth, W-H-I-N-E, and a fine wine of select gripes. So I have many gripes with the Republicans, with the right wing, and especially the crazy fringe Tea Party folk. And let's face it, I mean, Fox so-called news does espouse their philosophy for whatever their purpose is, and just follow the money. I would say follow the money, and you would find why they do that. Yes, well, thanks. Thank you, Peter, for that. But I know, sure, you just follow the money and you will find what's going on anywhere. Well, if you do follow the money, and you will see why Fox News and all those people of those ilk, of that ilk, will espouse that. And you may think that at times I'm just espousing the other side. I really hope I don't fall into that. I try my very best to give you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth here at Civino Veritas. But I have found that on all places, Fox so-called news, there is a commentator she's almost close to an actual news reporter, and her name is Megan, I forgot her first name. But listen to this. She was interviewing a presidential hopeful, Mr. Huckabee. And he has this book out now that is, first of all, in my opinion, I think Bill Maher should sue Mr. Huckabee because he uses this whole image throughout his book of the bubble. And Bill Maher has been doing that for a couple of years now about how the Republicans live in a bubble. But now Huckabee is saying how the un-American people in America are in this bubble, and so he's, using that image in the book. And he was on the show with Megan, and Megan Kelly, that's her name, and listen to what she says. This is hope. There is hope. There's hope and change for people. Listen to this.
Well, I do have news for you before I let you go. We are not only swearing, we're drinking, we're smoking, we're having premarital sex, we're birth control before we go to work, and sometimes around a bunch of men. I gotta leave it at that.
I just don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that.
That's just the reality, Gov.
Yes, that's just the reality.
That is just the reality, and Governor Huckabee doesn't want to hear that. He wants to hear that women should be in their place, which is not, does not mean equal pay, does not mean doing jobs that men are supposed to do, according to Mr. Huckabee.
So she put him straight, and that's right there on Fox so-called news. And if they get any more, if they get a little more truthful, it may be actually Fox News.
It may be actually Fox News. We shall see what happens. You're listening to Civino Veritas. This is Tom Civino coming to you live from Burbank, California on this Thursday evening. And I am going to, I'm not going to do that. Hold on. Yes, I'm going to play you, I'm going to read some items that were in the news today. Where is my item in the news? Hello, item in the news, where are you? So we don't have any engineers here or coordinators. We try to do our best. I try to do my best alone. Alone.
I'm so alone here. I am just so alone. I have no.
What is wrong with you?
I'm
trying to get it together. Oh, here's something. Let's play this. It's not that far past Valentine's Day, and this little YouTube video came out by this really cool new company called MeUndies. MeUndies. Oh, Frank. If Frank Antola is listening, he's hearing me do British accents again, which I can't do. But MeUndies. Oh, yeah, MeUndies. So the name of the company is MeUndies, and I bought a couple of MeUndies, and they're fine. I was wearing them, but as you know, I do this show naked, so they're just over on the chair over there. But they're very comfortable, and they're a very cool company, and they're a young company, young people who are working at the company, and I would say their market is young people. They probably have a heart attack or something if they knew that, you know, that the guy, that this old guy was wearing their MeUndies, you know. But I don't know.
Fasten your seatbelt. It's going to be a bumpy night.
Well, yes, it is a little bumpy without the MeUndies because I'm sitting on a wood chair that squeaks, and you've heard this. We're coming to you from Burbank, California, from Lion's Den Studios. We are not soundproof, not foolproof, but we are 90-proof. And it's a wonderful evening here. But let me play this MeUndies thing. So it was on Valentine's Day that they put this out. And you will see, of course you can't see because this is a radio show, but these very attractive, you know, just ordinary attractive women who work for me in MeUndies were working in their undies when this YouTube thing was recorded. And they're, it's not like Victoria's Secret, they're normal underwear, but, you know, they're reading this, they're reading, what you're going to be hearing is, are these women reading pickup lines that they get from people, from men, and I'll share some of these pickup lines from MeUndies.
I'm going to read you some Tinder pickup lines that I've been getting. Are you fertile? I need a favor.
Ew! That's disgusting.
Do you like the Backstreet Boys because my penis is larger than life?
If I flip a coin, what are the odds that I'll get hit?
Oh my god!
Girl, you make me want to knit both of us matching sweaters.
Lately, want to give it some mouth to mouth.
Oh my god!
Listen, I'm not here to put boots
brush my teeth with you.
You want to be sex friends?
Maybe.
Can I lick Nutella off of you? That would work. I'd be down.
I would definitely f*** you sober. Damn Skippy.
Can I Snapchat you pictures of my f*** now?
No, never, ever, in a million years, 100% f*** no.
Sit on my face, and I'll eat my way to your heart.
All right, well...
Damn, girl, you look like you got a mad vagina game winner. This guy's smart.
Oh, my God.
Well, those were the pickup lines from MeUndies, a company that makes MeUndies. And here's something that was in the news today. Although it wasn't in the news, but recently was the 40th anniversary of the live show from New York City. Live from New York is Saturday night. And they had a lot of festivities during the 40th anniversary, which was, I think, a week ago or so. And some interesting things. These are some people that were banned from being on Saturday Night Live. They were on once and then banned. They were banned from being on again. So let me first tell you that the first guy...
I know a good audience when I see one. I really do. And when I see one, I'll let you know. Good night. I really feel great. I feel very happy tonight. I feel like doing a show. I just got good news from my lawyer. He sent me a wire. They found land on my property. And I'm very, very proud once again to be back here at the Hollywood Palace, because everybody has been so nice to me, even the producers, Bill Harbach and Nick Banoff. This morning, they sent a car after me. Lucky I got out of the way in time. But on with the show, ladies and gentlemen. We have a very, very wonderful show.
Of course, that was Milton Berle, and he was on Saturday Night Live hosting the show in April of 1979, and he was banished from the show after chronically overacting, mugging for the camera, and upstaging the other cast members. He also improvised some of his older comedy bits and sang a dreary rendition of the September song. Perfectionist, so-called perfectionist, Lorne Michaels, banned the show's rebroadcast until 2003. I didn't know that. So the show that was broadcast in 1979 was not broadcast again until 2003 because he thought the episode discredited this show. But let me ask you, perfectionist Lorne Michaels, why would you get Milton Berle to host Saturday Night Live if you didn't want overacting, mugging for the camera, and upstaging? I mean, that's Milton Berle. God love Milton Berle. Rest in peace. Well, another person who was a host of Saturday Night Live and was told not to return, or wasn't told not to return, but they wouldn't have him back. It was Frank Zappa. After hosting in 1978, the Mothers of Invention frontman Frank Zappa was banned from the show after telling the audience he was using cue cards and outright mugging for the cameras. A lot of mugging in New York, especially in the summers, it's really muggy. Frank Zappa, due to his strict anti-drug stance, the week of rehearsals leading to the live show, it was a tense one, since the cast and crew had realized attitudes had relaxed attitudes toward drugs. So, according to this, what I read here was that the staff and the crew, the cast and the crew, maybe not staff, but the cast and the crew had relaxed attitudes towards drugs. And Frank Zappa had a very
strict anti-drug stance. And said that the only John Belushi stood next to Frank Zappa during the goodnight sequence. It's a strange reason to ban someone from your show again. I don't know. Steven Seagal. Action stars Steven Seagal hosted the April 20th, 1991 show. The cast and crew found him difficult to work with, and Lauren Michaels assessed him as the worst host ever, quote, the worst host ever, end quote. The Seagal debacle was relived during Nicolas Cage's monologue the following year, when he told Michaels, they probably think I'm the biggest jerk who's ever been on the show. And Michaels deadpanned, no, no, that would be Steven Seagal. Well, I'm with you there. Steven Seagal, anything is, you know, Steven Seagal should be on Fox Football News. Another person who I'm a little surprised was banned from Saturday Night Live was Adrian Brody. Academy Award winner Adrian Brody was an unlikely choice for Lon Michaels' blacklist, it says here. While hosting the May 10th, 2003 show, he donned a dreadlocks wig and Rastafarian clothing. His improvised introduction of Jamaican reggae star Sean Paul included a rambling faux patois and botching Paul's name. The improv-averse Michaels was livid that Brody didn't clear the bit and banned him from future shows.
You are banned, Adrian Brody. Robert Blake,
a former child actor and star of the television show Beretta. Robert Blake was far from the perfect host or guest when he showed his displeasure with the scripts while preparing for the November 13, 1982 show. He refused to cooperate with the cast and crew. When writer and cast member Gary Kroger gave him several script pages, Blake wadded up the pages and threw the pages in Kroger's face. You believe that?
Oh my God!
When you're slapped, you'll take it and like it.
Charles Grodin, actor and comedian Charles Grodin, turned in an awkward performance on October the 29th, 1977. His first appearance on the show, apparently his last. He skipped rehearsals and improvised many of his lines. Grodin's clumsy performance was his first and last, it says here, I was right. The impetus for Lorne Michaels' passion for preparedness. Some even speculate Grodin's clumsiness was attributed to the actor showing up drunk the day of the show. Well, of course, the most famous banning from Saturday Night Live would be that of Sinead O'Connor. In 1992, Irish singer Sinead O'Connor sang Bob Marley's War a cappella. Without permission, she held up a photo of Pope John Paul II, ripped it up, and yelled, "Fight the real enemy." The director cut the applause sign and the audience remained silent. The next week's host, Joe Pesci, taped the photograph back on the air. Lorne Michaels considered O'Connor's actions a betrayal, but understood her convictions. I didn't even know she was arrested, but she had convictions.
I wonder how many convictions she had. Martin Lawrence,
during the actor's monologue about feminine hygiene on the show, he became extremely filthy with his words, which led
the host, which led to most of the monologue being wiped after it aired live.
So, you know, if you're on the East Coast, you're watching Saturday Night Live live, and they can't cut things out. But when it gets here to sunny Burbank, California, well, not sunny because it is late at night, it's 11:30 when they show Saturday Night Live. But when it gets here, they could edit things out. Well, that night, instead of rebroadcasting the show the way it was, a statement during this part of his monologue came on, posted on the screen. It said, quote, "At this point in his monologue, Martin begins a commentary on what he considers the decline in standards of feminine hygiene in the United States. Although we as Saturday Night Live take no stand on this issue, one way or the other, network policy prevents us from rebroadcasting the portion of his remarks." In summary, Martin feels, or felt at the time, that the failure of many young women to bathe thoroughly is a serious problem that demands our attention. He explores this problem, citing numerous examples from his personal experience, and ends by proposing several imaginative solutions. I would like to see that. I wonder if there is a tape of that somewhere. There must be an existing
tape of that somewhere, as they would have to broadcast that on the West Coast. They didn't instead put on that notice that I read to you, but there must be a tape somewhere.
I would like to find that when I have free time.
I will look for that.
Now, here's another person who was banned from the show. And I'm going to
play you his actual appearance on the show and why he was banned. So let me do that for you right now.
Through an exclusive arrangement with the Poor Union Yesterday, Burbank, California. And we did mention in the opening news segment that Electric Piano Institute is going to have their awards called the Wurlitzer Prize. And the announcer there said, just when you thought the award season was over. Of course, that comes from the famous Al Pacino cut. Let's hear Al Pacino doing that famous cut right now.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
Just when I thought I was out,
they pulled me back in. And it wasn't too bad. I should try it.
But, you know, there's the character on The Sopranos who was Tony Soprano's sidekick. I need a sidekick. Anybody looking for a job, sidekick? Like, it doesn't pay much. I could just, like, give you donuts or something. So I need a sidekick. Jeremy Long, I know you have experience sidekicking or being a sidekick. If you're available to kick sides, please give me a call. But anyway, Tony Soprano's sidekick did this version of Al Pacino's famous quotation.
So why do you leave?
Cheer me up, babe.
The conditions. Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
It's
all.
Zeppuccino. Fucking spit image.
Just when I thought I was out, pulled me back in. Get the fuck out of here. Walk out of here.
Well, yes, and here's a little scene from The Sopranos that I thought you'd enjoy about cultural rape. As a matter of fact, you might think of it that way. And I forget these characters' names. It's been a while since I watched The Sopranos, but I thought you'd enjoy this today. Let's hear it. Thank you.
democracy you've been waiting for is here. You're listening to Sabrina Huertas live from Burbank, California. And we were talking about people who have been banned from Saturday Night Live. And the last person we talked about was Elvis Costello. Yes, Elvis Costello. And the next one is, I'll play you a cut and see if you can guess. If I can find it. We do need a sidekick, an engineer, coffee maker, a place to sleep. Where is this? Come on. Here it is. Listen.
Except a happy ending.
Well, yes, Mary Hartman, Louise Lasser, who was once Woody Allen's wife, I believe, the first wife of Woody Allen. Louise Lasser, the star of the cult soap opera parody, Mary Hartman, she was the first performer ever banned from Saturday Night Live. She was in the grip of a drug abuse problem, and during rehearsal week, she crawled into various offices at Rockefeller Center, and then they banned her. I would think they would be more used to people crawling to them, especially Lorne Michaels, from what I understand. So anyway, that was the 40th anniversary of Saturday Night Live. You know, they call him Mr. Lorne Michaels, a perfectionist, and I really do. I like the show a lot. There are many, many, many things that will live on for me, happy memories. But the show is really hit and miss, and as it gets older, it's missing a lot more. I looked at some of the older videos of the original Saturday Night Live, and they were much better. Better than what's going on lately. But anyway, I do want to applaud them for being on for 40 years, and that's no easy task, especially live broadcasting, which is what you're listening to right now. If you're listening to us at the moment, at 1 to 4, and the moment is like 5 to 9 Eastern Time. I'm sorry, 5 to 9 Pacific Time. And it's 5 to midnight Eastern Time. And if you're listening to us now at those times live, then you're listening to us live. But you can also listen to us at this wonderful website. You can listen to this show if you missed it. If you like the show and you want somebody to hear it, they can listen to it at juicedtalkradio.com. Juicedtalk.com. You can actually just go to juicedtalk.com. And you can hear every episode of Sabrina Huertas. And it's a really cool site. You can hear other shows, the Cotolo Chronicles, which is a show that precedes Sabrina Huertas. And you can hear all of the Cotolo Chronicles shows and all of the Artist D shows and Velvet Steel. So it's a great place to hear some radio that you're not. This is not commercial radio. Well, I'll take that back. It is commercial radio, but I mean it's not your ordinary commercial radio. It's not your McDonald's radio. It is not your Walmart radio. It may be your Mo Tibetan Divination commercial radio, but it's not those things. So before we get to the, we're going to get to the news in just a little bit Canada. There is, there's some things here that are going on in Canada that you might be interested in the area of the SRN people, the SRN broadcasters. These are the community announcements on February the 25th. That's over. Oh, it's for the, okay, thank you. I can read. For the week of February 25th. There's the something blood donor clinic.
the 2001 blood donor clinic Saturday, February the 28th, from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., the York Region Administrative Center at 17250 Yonge Street, that's Y-O-N-G-E Street, in Newmarket. Newmarket is the place you have to check on the internet for their wonderful naked spread eagle hospital center. Check it out. Saturday is a great opportunity to save a life. Share your vitality by rolling up your sleeve to donate blood. Did you know that it can take 50 donors to save the life of a car accident victim? Book your appointment today. I didn't know that. I learned something. Thank you. This is from Phil Holm at SRN. Send me this. Thank you. Canadian Blood Services, you can contact them at I can't read it. You can go to blood.ca. That's Canada, blood.ca. Or you can call 1-888-236-6283 for the blood donating thing. The new Beaver Shriners curling bond spiel. And a bond spiel, I found out, is kind of like a tournament. So the Newberry Shriners curling bond spiel, Saturday, February the 28th, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. at the York Curling Club, 220 Muriel Street in Newmarket. That's also Newmarket. And if you should be injured there, you can go to the blood drive that I just told you about and get some blood. Contact John Mitchell at 705-437-3002 to contact him for the new Beaver Shriners curling bond spiel, which would be Saturday. And we are now just coming up to the midnight hour, and we will have the news in just a few seconds with Phil Hong, and we're going to get back to some of the interesting things that have been happening as soon as we hear the news with Phil Hong. This is Sabino Veritas in Mind the Truth.
Good evening, Tom. Sexual assault charges have been laid against the Thornhill man. Police say a man sexually assaulted a woman in North York last Friday morning and only stopped after a witness accosted him. A coyote might be to blame for the death of a Brampton dog. Brampton Animal Services confirms the dog died in a Heart Lake backyard, but can't confirm that a coyote was the culprit. A Newmarket Health Center may look like a certain body part from the sky. Foreign publications, including Playboy, contend that the publicly owned building, when seen from an aerial view, looks like a man with dangling genitals. Snow or flurries in the forecast. North minus 5, Pearson minus 6. This update is brought to you by Frank Cotolo on 148.ca. Wonder what the aerial view is on that. Regrets. Frank has a few. Probably that aerial view. More at 148.ca/Frank. I'm Philip Hong from SRN National News, taking a mickey of that last headline there. Now back to Tom Savino with Savino Veritas on SRN 1.
This is big news here in Newmarket. Everybody should Google that, the Newmarket Health Center, and you will see that it looks like a naked man, or it looks like a spread-eagled man. Yes, it would be a naked man because we see his dangling genitals, and we can't see dangling genitals unless you're naked. And this is Savino Veritas, and I do the show naked every week. I'm doing it now. Just before the show, I was in MeUndies. I was wearing MeUndies, and as soon as I remove MeUndies, I could my genitals are dangling. Didn't Simon and Garfunkel have a song, Dangling Genitals, something like that? Anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Oscars. We had a great show last week, I thought. I really enjoyed the show. I hope you did. It was a preview of the Oscars.
excuse me. It was a preview of the Oscars, and Jeremy Long,
who I'm
trying to groom as my sidekick, Jeremy Long was here, and
Savino Veritas,
Hollywood correspondent Zane Delgado was on the line, and we talked about the Oscars, and we hit a lot of the things. Unfortunately, we missed up on, there's a lot, Whiplash was really, yes, so Whiplash got a couple of
awards,
and of course the award that we were most sure, certain of, was his, J.K. Simmons winning the Supporting Actor Award, and he did win that. And I read it, and he's just slap happy. I'm telling you, he's just going around slap happy. And,
oh my God!
Yes. Oh my God, indeed. So, he won. And, but we, Frank Cotullo, I remember, the Cotullo Chronicles, was the first person to, that I heard mention Birdman as something that would win the Academy Awards, and it did. But he and I and Zane, well, not, no, I think Zane was, yeah, and Zane and Jeremy all thought Michael Keaton was going to win. So Birdman got the Oscar, but Michael Keaton got the Birdman. Michael Keaton got the Birdman. I say that jokingly because I have to say something. I'm on this hour and a half show, and I have to try to be funny or be funny or something. But, you know, jestingly, I really do think it was a great job, and he... It's hard, you know, it's hard to say because the guy who won it, Redmayne, Eddie Redmayne, was fantastic as well and deserved it. You know, I don't know. I guess they can't have ties, huh? You can't have ties in the Oscars. They have many ties, huh? Because of the tuxedos, so they have ties. So this is Tom Savino from Savino Veritas, and we're going to go through this. Interesting thing that I saw today. Ted Cruz is one of the most annoying, obnoxious, fringe, crazy, right-wing Tea Party jerks I can think of. And he texted, I'm sorry, he tweeted the other day this. He said, "Net neutrality is Obamacare for the internet. The internet should not operate at the speed of government." There's a lot of stupid things about that tweet. And the thing I wanted to tell you, though, is that his conservative friends had a lot to say about that. So I wanted to tell you about that. I wonder if I can make this larger so I can see. It wouldn't be inserted. It would be that. Come on. Zoom. I guess I can't zoom. Will it zoom if I do that? It did. It zoomed. It's amazing what we can do with technology. And this is Tom Savino coming to you from Savino Veritas live from Burbank, California. And you may hear the 9:15 flight coming into Bob Hope Airport. As I hope they land safely. But here is Ted Cruz, who tweeted, "Net neutrality is Obamacare for the internet. The internet should not operate at the speed of government." And after Ted Cruz sent out the tweet above, he got some surprisingly vicious comments from conservatives. A group of the feedback left, a sample of the feedback left on his Facebook page from self-identifying Republicans follows. Ed Piper says, "As a Republican who works in the tech industry, I can say that this statement shows you either have no idea what you're talking about, or you are bought and paid for by the American cable monopoly. This is amazingly a stupid statement and is disheartening." Now, remember earlier I said I started this new segment and I had Kelly, whatever her name is, Kelly Morgan, Kelly, Megyn Kelly, you know, Kelly, Megyn Kelly I had on, and she is a Fox news person, so-called news person, and she really got to the truth with Mr. Wannabe President Huckabee. And I played that for you. Excuse me for one second.
And I played that for you. And so I'm finding a lot of
things that are warming me up to some of these Republican people. I can't believe it. Speaking of Saturday Night Live, which we just did, the people who were banned from there, I was just fascinated that former governor Sarah Palin was there, and for the things she said, she was actually funny, she was actually warm, she was actually interesting. I can't believe it. So maybe there is hope for us, I don't know. So this Ed Piper said this about Ted Cruz. And again, I feel hope that Republicans are calling people on this. In fact, the thing that encourages me the most is Ed Piper's statement that, well, you must either be stupid, or this is the part that really I love, or bought and paid for by American cable monopoly. Because, you know, I tend to think that Republicans are fine. I mean, just everyday Republicans. I don't mean people running for office or people who have office or people who are on Fox so-called news. I mean just walking around Republicans. I tend to think that they're all for being bought and paid for by corporations.
Isn't that what being Republican is?
And then hearing this, well, it says, well, maybe they're not.
Maybe it's not just what Republicans are. And here's another comment
to Ted Cruz. It was from Keith French. And he says, Ted, I am as conservative as they come. I want government out of just about everything. And I hate to say it. I really hate to say it. But Obama is right on this one. I do not want my access and internet speed controlled by my internet service provider.
It will be. The internet has been an open forum with little to no restrictions. That will change, and not for the better. Bottom line, do not go against freedom of the net just because Obama is for it. Even an old blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while. Very good, Keith French. You're increasing my hope. There's hope for us. Another Republican, Joey Camp, said this to Ted Cruz. He said, as a Republican who also works in IT like Ed, I think he meant who also works in IT like Ed, you have no clue what you are talking about, or you are company bought and paid for. Hey, Ginny McManus, a Republican, says, God damn it, stop making my party look like morons and look up net neutrality. It doesn't mean what you and your speechwriters think it means. James Nelson says, have to disagree with the senator on this one. AT&T and Big Cable have proven they can't be trusted, and net neutrality is necessary to keep fair competition. These big monopolies own their own competing streaming services and want nothing more than to be able to regulate competitors in an internet slow lane. Marvin England, says to Ted Cruz, as a tech and fiscal conservative in Texas who generally votes Republican, I am incredibly disappointed by your completely inaccurate statement.
please read up on what net neutrality actually is and fire any staff you have who may be advising you on technical matters. Sam Adams says, Senator Cruz, you are wrong on this one. As a conservative voter, an IT professional, I can assure you that net neutrality is a good thing. Internet providers, who are also content owners, can't be trusted, as has already been proven, to allow consumers equal access to content from their competitors. This is why the government needs to ensure net neutrality as it protects the consumer from the bias of their internet provider. This is especially true since we don't have real competition in this space. Adam Huzzy says, go find whatever rock you crawled out from under, Ted, and stay under it. I second that idea. Proud Republican here, but not so proud to be blind like the good senator. Look how, quote, great our free market internet is. I pay $100 a month for 15 Mbps. 100 gigabytes PM, whatever this crap means, I don't know, capped internet. Yep, those free markets really make it better. IMAO. I don't know what that means. On that issue, by the way, that was Adam Hussey's tweet back to Cruz, but I do want to say that the FCC has just besides today was the great news of that we will have net neutrality at least until corporados try something else to stop it, but the thing is that it's all based on money. Again, like I said earlier in the show, if you follow the money, you'll find where all of this goes. Oh, yeah, this is what I wanted to say. Unlike other countries, and ridiculously, you know, when you think these are poor countries, unlike these other countries, the United States is nowhere near the speed of other countries when it comes to the internet. Like this gentleman who just wrote to Ted Cruz, and he's paying $100 a month for 15 Mbps. The FCC has said all providers now must allow or must provide at least 25 Mbps, and this wouldn't even put us, it would put us closer to the top countries, but it wouldn't make us the top country. So we're way behind in speed, way behind in speed. As a matter of fact, one good thing about that, though, is that the show would already have been over if we were going at a faster speed. Dave Vogelpohl, a Republican, says, I'm a Texas employer here. This is really the wrong issue for you. Drop this quickly and move on to something else before it's too late. You're starting to look like a Tea Party wacko growling for his corporate masters. But Ted Cruz is a Tea Party wacko growling for his corporate masters. So he looks like who he is. Anyway, Mr. Vogelpohl goes on and says, move on before you embarrass the Republicans out of the next presidency. Net neutrality is about ensuring a free market. America loves a free market, but hey, be against free markets in America? It's cool. I'm sure no one will think of you when their Netflix slows down. Who wouldn't have before? And that's the issue, because what happens is, like AT&T, Verizon, they purposely slow down. They throttle, called throttling. They purposely can slow down whoever they wish to slow down. Now, if they slow down Netflix, they'll say to Netflix, you want to go faster? You pay us more.
And Netflix will say to us, the subscribers of Netflix, hey, listen, I'm being, bribed here with these things, and we can't go faster unless you pay more for your subscription, and that's what will happen. But thankfully, if the FCC rules hold, which they came out today, and they're now going to treat the internet as if it is a utility, then we will have some, peace of mind that this won't happen. I hope so. So anyway, that was the thing about the Ted Cruz and the people who he supports. His corporados. And speaking of corporados, this is actually a thing, a funny thing, which I'm going to play in a minute, that actually happened with General Mills. Let's take a look. Listen. Take a look, too, if you want, but listen.
Yeah.
Savino at Twitter. TJ Savino at Twitter. Please follow me. And you can also write to me at tjsavino22@gmail.com about anything you wish. Or you can also write your well-thought-out question to be answered by Oregon Yeshe on the Mo divination thing. And you can, if you do that, you can pay for that at $22 through the account of TJ Savino 22, the PayPal account of TJ Savino 22 at gmail.com. Well, now you're listening to Savino Veritas, and this is Tom Savino coming to you live from Burbank, California, land of make believe and fantasy. And we've gone over a number of things this evening. We did the Megyn Kelly thing, and we did those things, and we did that thing, and we did a lot of those things. And what's the next thing? I'm looking for the Woody Allen thing. Oh, we did Louise Lasser. Yeah, and Louise Lasser, as you may know, was the wife of Woody Allen. So we do have a little cut here from Woody Allen. Listen to this.
Now we're going to come to the question and answer period of the program. We're going to discuss some of the salient events of 1967 and to counterbalance my views, which are desperately liberal and criminal at times, is one of the most controversial and charming men on television, Mr. William F. Buckley Jr.
still here, and that'll be next
Sorry, sir. I didn't mean to overstep my bounds. You say that.
What?